just for a moment. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be there? Jesus said, Jesus. It had to be an awesome moment. Can you imagine just for a moment all of the angels that were ready and was probably asking the Father, Father, is it time now? No. Gabriel said, let me go tell them. Not yet, Gabriel. Is it? And then all of a sudden, the Father says, now. And all of a sudden, the angels broke loose and praised. And why did they do that? Because when they broke loose and praised, they saw Emmanuel, God with us, all of a sudden coming down to this earth. And the angels knew that there was something far more, even beyond that. Something was fabulous that was happening. Yes, there was the birth of the child. He was the Son of God. He would live a sinless life. 33 years, he would be out there. 3 years, helping people, healing the sick, raising the dead, causing the blind to see, opening up eyes, bringing joy, bringing light. And then there was the cross. And he said, I got to go there. And then there was the tomb. And he went there. And then all of a sudden, he rose up out of that tomb. And now he says, guys, get ready. Get ready. He said, Father, I'm coming home now to prepare a place. And you see, it was on the eyes. It was in these guys' eyes that they understood and they saw that there was a place that Jesus was preparing. It was a place that Abraham was looking for. Abraham, he spent his whole life searching for a city that was made without hands, and he never saw it in life. Jesus went to prepare. I'd like to carry you there. I'd like to carry you there this morning. I am not an authorized tourist guide. All I can do this with you this morning is read with you. Take a tour. You know, one of the greatest ways to do when we was down in New Orleans, took a tour and saw the sights before the great storm. Went overseas, took some tours to see because people tell you. But wouldn't it be neat if all of a sudden Michael the archangel flew in? I like to put it that way. Or we could say, beam me up, Scotty. All of a sudden he just kind of appeared before us. And would say, look, guys, I took John on a guided tour, so I'd like to take you on a guided tour. So let's turn to Revelation, chapter 21. Revelation, chapter 21. As you're approaching this area, I want your eyes to be set and fixed on high. Let me give you a scripture. The scripture says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the Father. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. That's, hey folks, we ought to just read that verse and go home. Okay? I'm not going to do it. Young people said, yeah. No, I'm not going to do it. But all of a sudden, you know, we'd say, set your affections on things of above. Some people say that some Christians are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. I think there's some Christians so earthly minded, they're no heavenly good. But what this scripture says for us today is to set your mind and affections on things above. You ever watch people walk? Have you ever noticed that some people walk like this? And have you ever noticed that some people walk like this? What's the difference? One of them kind of, they don't know what's in front of them. Another one sees. I trust from this day forth that we will walk not with our heads down on the earth to see what's earthly, but with our heads up. It's heaven. We're moving that direction. In fact, the Bible says, in Matthew 6:20, it says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth does not corrupt, where thieves do not break through the steel. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your treasure?
I heard about an old preacher. He was preaching about heaven and about how glorious heaven was, but that's all he could do. But one day his dad died, and then he preached about heaven, and heaven was a little more precious. And then his mom died. Heaven was a little more precious. And then he outlived his children. Heaven was more precious. He outlived his wife. And then when he preached on heaven, it was more precious. A couple of weeks ago, I had one of my aunts join that circle in the sky with my dad, with my uncle. And you know, the amazing thing is that circle's getting bigger. And when my dad went up there, he reached over there, no doubt. He reached over there and he found Frederick, my brother that lived just a few hours. And so when he reached out there and all of a sudden, now heaven, you know what heaven's becoming? Heaven is becoming a lot more precious now. I mean, Jesus Christ is enough forever and forever and ever. But it's sure going to be neat to see some of those that we love and some of those that we care for. Just looking up. Looking up. We're looking now toward a text, pretty difficult to teach about, but I want to kind of capture the scene and get a few things ready. I'm coming to Revelation. Y'all just hold your finger there. I'll be there in just a minute. But before we get there, I want you to know there's three facts that's worth dying for. Are you ready to die? If you got something worth dying for, I think there's three facts right now that's worth dying for. Number one is that there's going to be a new creation. Isaiah 65:17 says, "Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former earth shall not be remembered, nor come into the mind." Whoa, that's worth dying for, isn't it? A new heaven, can you imagine that? A new heaven and a new earth? Sin corrupted this old earth. Boy, y'all, I know y'all heard about this guy this week. What was his name? $50 billion. I don't see his name. I can't pull it. Bernard Madoff embezzled $50 billion. Anybody know what $1 billion is? I don't. You get along, George and Ben. I can't get lost. $50 billion. He took, embezzled. Where did that go? They say it's gone. They call it a Ponzi or something like that. And he said, it's gone. Folks, there's going to be a new heaven. And there's going to be a new earth, and nobody's going to be able to do you in. Nobody. And look at that. It says, and the former shall not be remembered. It's going to be so good. You won't even remember this old earth. Boy, isn't that a good thing? I took off of Fox Network just reporting, and I just took a blog out of that and said, North Korea warns nuclear dismantling slowdown. Indian Navy nabs 23 pirates. Officer killed after bomb explodes in Oregon Bank. Cholera in Zimbabwe, automakers, bailout, Afghan cliff class urns, storm leaves the northeast in homes in dark, inmates take hostage, skeleton remains likely of Kaylee, gunfire erupts at an Oregon funeral, courthouse shooter sentenced to life without parole, global porn network busted, all of this stuff. Man, I mean corruption. But wait a minute. When we see that new heaven and new earth, we won't remember none of this stuff. That's worth dying for. And He'll give us a new mind. The Bible says, nor even come to your mind. The sting of death, the sting of sin, gone. A new heaven. Acts chapter 3, 19 through 23 says, teaches about a new restoration of all things. He says there's going to be a time of refreshing. He says, repent ye therefore, in Acts 3:19. He says, repent ye therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. He speaks about a time of refreshing. He speaks about a time of reconstruction, making all things new. He speaks about a time that all the evilness in those people will be destroyed and only the redeemed will be left. And then, a restoration of all things. Hey, that's worth dying for. And one more worth dying for. That's a new habitation. 2 Peter 3:13 says, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth the righteous. We live with a promise. We look for a new heaven. And we long for it. That's worth dying for. Well, when you die, is there such a place? Oh, absolutely. When you die, where are you going? Turn with me now, Revelation 21, verse 1. Scripture says, "And I saw a new heaven." Who is he speaking to? This is John. John, the Apostle John. There he is. He sees it. It's not an image. It's not a vision. He says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither cry, neither sorrow, neither nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And He that sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And He said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And He said unto me, 'It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. And he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Oh, let's back up in verses 1 and 2. Let's look at the geography. Let's just go up there and find out that heaven is a real place. It is a real material place. The reality of heaven, John said, "I saw it." It's not something that we just dream about. It is a reality. Jesus said in John 14, 1 and 2, He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And I go and prepare a place for you." I go and prepare a place for you. I go and prepare a place for you. It's a real place. And a real resurrection demands a real body. And a real body demands a real spirit. And for a body, a resurrected spirit, a resurrected person to have, to hold, to go, they got to have a place to walk around. And that place is called heaven. It's New Jerusalem. It's a new Jerusalem. Heaven is a new place. There's a new heaven. There's a new earth. In 2 Peter 3:11 it says, "Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye should be in the holy conversation, looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt in fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." Oh, this world is going to be burned up. You know what an atomic bomb is? Man, we see that. You know, what was dropped on Hiroshima. And you know what it was? It was a lot of energy inside of an atom. And when they split that atom, there was fire in there. There was energy in there. And when they split that atom, all of a sudden this huge mushroom. Hey, that's what this world is. This world is made up of atoms. And one day, all the Father has to say to that atom is, "Split." And then all of a sudden, what's going to happen is, poof. And it's going to be dissolved by fire. Why? So that a new heaven, a new earth, for us, for you, it's just waiting on you. This heaven is a new Jerusalem, and it's just around the corner. Oh, but let's look at the government. What's going on there in heaven? In verse 3 through 8, we see it. "And I heard a voice, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men.'" What is happening? Here, the government is heaven. The Lord God is going to be ruling and reigning. And who are you going to see there? You're going to see none other than Jesus Christ. When you get to heaven, you will not see a Father. You will not see a Son. You will not see a Holy Spirit. When you get to heaven, you will see Jesus. He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, can I explain that real good to you? No. Okay. Do I believe it? Absolutely. We're not worshiping three gods. We're worshiping one God. And He's made known unto us as the Father. Jesus prayed to the Father. He's made known unto us as the Son. Jesus is the one that was born in the manger. He's made known to us as the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that came down upon Jesus on the day that He was baptized. But when we get to heaven, and we're on the way, we're going to see Jesus. And up there, there's going to be some no mores. Don't you like some no mores? Sound like s'mores, but I'm not talking about s'mores. I know for all you hungry folks. I'm talking about no mores. No more what? Verse 4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Why don't we say that together? No more death. Neither sorrow. Let's say it like that. No more sorrow. You ready? Here we go. I'm going to start all over. No more death. No more sorrow. No more crying. No more pain. Amen. Isn't that a good thing in heaven? There's no gout. It's no more pain in heaven, folks. When we get up there, no sorrow. What's messed this old earth up? Sin. And what's going to happen? God's going to get the sin out. But you know, it really changes our lives when we start focusing in on heaven. I read after Dr. Adrian Rogers that in the early years of his ministry, he and his wife, they had a baby. And he would go to the hospital. In the hospital, Dr. Rogers would go and he'd visit. And he said there was a cynical man that was up there. And that cynical man, he tried to share Jesus with him, to lead him to the Lord, but he just couldn't get there. In the course of this time, Dr. Rogers, they had a crib death. Their baby died. One of those unexplainable things that happened. A few days later, Dr. Rogers went back to the hospital and that old cynical guy came up to him and said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "Well, aren't you mad at God for what He allowed to happen to your baby?" And Dr. Rogers says, "No, I'm not mad at God. I'm mad at Satan. Because all sin and all death is a result of sin, and Satan is behind it." He says, "Today, I'm a far more formidable enemy of Satan than I've ever been." Folks, one day, no more death. No more sorrow. No more. The government of heaven, it's there. But as we go beyond the government of heaven, we're also going to see that in heaven there's going to be some very special things. Y'all just hang with me. Verses 9 through 21 speaks about the glory that is found in heaven. And I know that this is a long passage, but you know, I don't know of anything else better for us to do this morning than just to read God's Word. And so therefore, what I'd like to do, I'm going to begin reading with verse 9. I'm going to go through verse 21. Because we're talking about the glory that's in heaven. "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven veils full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me a great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, and having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper, clear as a crystal, and had a wall great and high, and 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels. And names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east, 3 gates. And on the north, 3 gates. And on the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And in the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." And he talked with me. "And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are all equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was as of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manners of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedon, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Oh, folks, I can't explain it. I can't explain it. I can't explain streets of pure gold that's so pure it's clear as glass. I can't explain it where a pearl comes out of suffering. And yet there were 12 gates, solid pearl, and all these different stones of beauty. Oh, the walls, not to keep people out. It was a memorial. We had the 12 walls of the 12 tribes of Israel. And then 12 foundations, the 12 apostles. It was a beauty monument. The source of this city, it's beautiful. Its sight, its lights, its sounds. The song of Moses, the song of Moses, and the song of the Lamb. And look at the size of it. 1,500 miles high. 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles deep. Hey, that city would stretch from Maine to California. Can you imagine that? 3.25 million square miles. Folks, if everybody that's ever been born in this world were given a ranch, large ranch, you could put all of those ranches just in one corner of this city. Imagine that. Is there room for you? Yeah. Is there room for me? Yeah. There's room for you in heaven. And who is going to be there? It's going to be Jesus, because He is the light of the world. And then we're going to see the godliness of heaven. In 21 verses 24 through 27, the Bible teaches us, and the nations which are saved shall walk in the light, and the kings of the earth do bring honor, glory, and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter it into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever maketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. What are you looking at here? The godliness of heaven. It's a place of light. It's a place of glory. It's a place of living. It's a place of millions upon millions of people who are going to be there. Who's going to be there? Every baby that has been aborted is going to be there in heaven. Every child that has been born before the age of accountability is going to be there. Every person who could not comprehend because of their mental faculties, they're going to be there. And everyone over the age of accountability who accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're going to be there. And who's going to be reigning? No sin, no sorrow. The Father's going to be reigning. Jesus Christ will be there. And nothing that defiles, nothing of harm shall be there, because there's going to be no sin. The last thing I want you to see this morning as we leave is the gladness found in heaven. Read with me in chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river was their tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their forehead, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and forever. Satisfaction guaranteed. Crystal river flows, which will satisfy your thirst. Sufficiency, oh, the trees, the healing of all nations. The service, we don't go to heaven and get there and sit down in a rocking chair. We're going to go to heaven and be in a place of service. For me, I'm kind of like one preacher I heard. He said, Dr. Criswell said, when I go to heaven, he says, what I'm hoping when I get there, he says, I'm hoping that God will put me on a planet like Mercury and just let me preach and preach and preach and preach and never stop preaching. No time, no clocks, forever. We're going to have service. There's going to be joy. There's going to be activity. And we are going to see His face. The face of the Lord Jesus. Oh, it must have been wonderful when they looked down in that little manger. Oh, when the shepherds looked in that manger and they saw the face of Jesus, the babe. But what's it going to be like when we get to heaven and we see the face of Jesus in glory? Let's pray. Father, we look forward to that day. It's worth living for. It's worth dying for. Father, one day we're going to walk on those streets of gold through those gates of pearl. Oh, but we long to see Jesus. We long to see Jesus. We look forward to seeing our dad and our brother and our uncles and aunts and our friends who've gone on. We look forward to see them. But oh, Lord, we look forward to see Jesus. Heaven. It's going to be wonderful. And Father, we're going to forget about the pain and suffering back here. It's all going to be new. It's all going to be fresh. A new heaven, a new earth. Lord, until that day, let us live for You and praise You in honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, are you prepared to walk on the streets of gold? Have you committed your life? Do you have principles in your life worth dying for? It's a new heaven, a new earth, a new place. Is that where? Yes, it's worth it. What about you? Are you ready to walk on those streets of gold? If not, I encourage you this morning, during this time that we call an invitation time, just to come forward and say, Brother Robert, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be prepared to walk on the streets of gold. Now I want to see my Jesus face to face as my Savior and not as my judge. Are you prepared this morning? The prayer altar is going to be open. Many other needs might be available today. But today, are you ready to walk with Jesus? Let's stand together.